Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So we've been spending a lot of time this season talking about topics related to Eretz Yisrael. We had a special Yom HaZikaron shiur, special Yom HaAtzmaut shiur. We had a special Yom Yerushalayim shiur. We had a number of shiurim related. We had a shiur Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rabbi Talmud relationship. So today it is Erev Shavuos, basically almost Erev Shavuos. So we are going to be talking me in Yanei Diyoma related to Shavuos, Chag HaShavuos. I saw an insight a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing a different class. I came across an insight that I found very interesting and very compelling, and I really wanted to give a shiur, build a whole shiur. That's sometimes what happens. I find one insight that I find very interesting, and then I build a whole shiur around that. So today we are going to begin very halachic. There is a handout. Please make sure you have one. You do need one for the people on Zoom. I'm going to be screen sharing with you so that you can see the handout. I want to talk about different minhagim of Shavuos, specifically the minhag of eating dairy and the minhag of greenery around the home and yeshivos and bate knesset on Shavuos. So I heard this from Rabbi Zev Leff, not this year. I think it's from Rabbi Leff because it was a couple of years ago and I was trying to remember the source. I think it's from Rabbi Leff, but the first thing you see on your handout is an acronym, okay? So Shavuos comes at the end of the count of Sfiras HaOmer. You begin on the day after Pesach with the Korban Omer on the 16th of Nisan, and you count 49 days, and at the end of your count, you come to what we call Shavuos. The Gemara calls it a Tzeres. I heard Rabbi Zev Leff mention yesterday, and she was listening to, that the Torah itself never calls it a Tzeres, which is interesting. The word a Tzeres is the term for Chazal that they call the Yom Tov of Shavuos, but the Torah itself does not call Shavuos Atzeres. The Torah calls it Chag HaBikurim because you bring the first of the wheat on Shavuos. We bring the Shtei Halacham. Shavuos is very interesting. It's the only Yom Tov in Torah that does not have a date. There is no date given in the Psukim for Shavuos. So Rosh Hashanah, we are told on the 1st, and on Sukkos the 15th, and Yom Kippurim Basar LaChodesh. When it comes to Shavuos, there is no date. That's because it's related only to the count of Sfiras HaOmer. And Gemara also gives it another name, and that is what they call Atzeres. When the Gemara tells us that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva all died in one period, it says, Mi Pesach Va'ad Atzeres. So Shavuos is celebrated at the end of our count, Acharit. At the end of the count. So I think it's from Rabbi Zev Leff, but again, I don't remember exactly because I didn't hear it this year. But Achris, the first thing on your handout, it just shows you how to remember the customs of Shavuos. Achris is an acronym. Look at it. You see, it's, oh, I said I'm going to screen share. Okay, could you see my screen? Yes, thank you. So the first thing you see at the top of the screen is that it says the word Achris, which means at the end of. It stands for Akdamos, Chalav, Rus, Yarek, and Tikkun. So it's a nice and easy way. If you remember that Shavuos comes at the end of your count. Again, I didn't make that up. I think it's from Rabbi Zev Leff, even though I can't quote that 100% because I didn't learn it recently. But it's interesting that it's an easy way. If your remember Shavuos comes at the Achris of the count, then every letter of Achris stands for one of the different customs. Akdamos, the special poems, and songs that we sing, Chalav, which is we're going to talk about today, Rus, which we're not going to talk about today, Yerek, which we are going to talk about today, and Tikkun stands for Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Tikkun Leil Shavuos, okay? I made a shakel before we started. So now we are going to go into the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, compilation of Halacha. Siman Tav Tzadi Dalet. I am on page 1. Okay. Seder Tfilas Chag HaShavuos Ubo Gimel Se'ifim. That's what you see. So the three Se'ifim that are in regard to the Halachos of Shavuos in the Shulchan Aruch are right here. I am on page 1 of your handout with you. Okay. The first two Se'ifim are not so relevant for the purposes of our Shir. Obviously, they're relevant for us as Jews in Jewish life, but they're not relevant for us in our Shir because what I really want to talk about today is the inyan of eating chalav on Shavuos and the inyan of putting yarek, greenery, around. So let's just go through the first two Se'ifim quickly. I gave them for you on your handout, including the English translation, and we're not going to be spending time on these, okay? Simen Tav Tzadi Dalet Sefer Tfilas Chag HaShavuos Ubo Gemel Se'ifim. Se'if Aleph B'yam Chamishim L'Sfiras HaOmer Hu Chag HaShavuos. So on the 50th day of Sfiras HaOmer, which we know we're right at the end of the count of Sfiras HaOmer, it is Chag HaShavuos V'Seder HaTfila Kamo B'yam Tov Shal Pasach. And the Seder HaTfila, I see I have a typo there, there's an extra Tav. Let me just take my own pen. Okay, there's an extra tav. So the Seder of the Tefillah is just like on the Yom Tov of Pesach. So after he tells you that the davening is like Pesach, you shouldn't say Zman Chirusenu. It's like the Pesach davening, but you should add Yom Chakashavuos as Zman Matan Torosenu. The Gomrim Esahalo, this is where I'm up to for the people on Zoom. The Gomrim Esahalo, Umotzin Shnei Sefarim, meaning take out two Sefer Torah, Vakarim Bermishon, Chamisha, Mibachodesh Ashlishi, that is Perik Yotes of Shemos. I just gave a shir on that last night, Bogot on Zoom, a portion from that shir. Ad Sof. Seder, umafter, kor b'sheni, ubiyama bikurim. So it tells you what you read from the first Sefer Torah, what you read from the second Sefer Torah, and what is the mafter, the haftarah is from, b'merkava d'yechaskel, u'mishayim b'pasuk v'tesenu uch. So he tells you about the Torah reading for Chag HaShavuah. Seif beis, b'yama sheni, what do we do on the second day? Kor b'parash is called b'char. You see the English, I gave it to you, the translation. Where am I up to? I lost my place. Ad sof, sidru, umafter, kor kamo esmol, and the mafter is like yesterday, and the haftarah is from Chavakuk. Okay, so that's about the Torah reading and the davening. Now we come for purposes of our shir to, you want to read it more in detail, you have the translation. There you go. Okay, now let's talk about Seif Gimel, where we are going to find out about these customs. Wherever you see an asterisk in your text, you see there's like, on page one, there's an asterisk. That is where the Mishnah Berurah comments. Okay, well, that's why we have an asterisk. So we're going to be going through the Shulchan Aruch here of Yosef Karo. Furthermore, we're going to be seeing what the Ramah of Moshe Israelis adds in his glosses, and we're going to be looking at what the Mishnah Berurah, the Great Chafetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, comments on these halachos, and we're going to be learning, therefore, the halacha, as well as very hashkafic and interesting reasons for these customs on Shavuos. And I saw something interesting in the Sefer Making of a Minhag by Rabbi Moshe Walter, and that, I think, I see the making of Minhag. Well, usually I try to remember where I read things, but sometimes when we're preparing a shir and I'm looking at many sources, but one thing I saw, I think it's in that sefer, which is next to me, is that there are no specific davar mitzvah on Shavuos. Pesach has the davar mitzvah of matzah and maror, and the arba kosos. Sukkos has the sukkah and the dalet minim. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Teruah, Peruchav Gimel of Vayikra. We take the shofar. Chanukah is a mitzvah derabana, but it has a davar mitzvah. You like, it's not the sufganiyot, it's lighting of the Chanukah lecht. It's the Chanukiah, it's the menorah. Shavuos is very unique. Not only does it not have a date in the Torah, which we already established, look through Peruchav Gimel of Vayikra, and you will see that there is no date. It's only at the achris, at the end of the cow, but it is tied strongly to minhagim, and not to davar mitzvah. There is no object. There's no objectification of the celebration of the chag. So the minhagim are very important. And I do think I read in the Sefer the making of a minhag. The minhagim are very important because there is no actual celebration of the chag by re-representing any davar mitzvah, which is very interesting to consider. So it's really a yotzei min hakal in terms of many aspects. The only chag with no date, and the only chag that does not have an objective davar mitzvah, an object through which we celebrate the chag. So let us look at Seif Gimel here. Oh, I have to move for you people on Zoom. Okay. Asher lehis'anus b'motzei chag ha-shavuos. It is usher to fast on motzei chag ha-shavuos, haga. So now we come up to the glosses of the Ramah, of Moshe Israelis. Again, the Sfarad and Paskin, like the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, Ashkenaz and Paskin, like the Ramah, Rav Moshe Israelis. Here we go. The Ein Ormim Tachanu, Mitzchilas Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Ad Shmodabo. You don't recite Tachanu from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which was this past Tuesday, through the 8th. Now, we celebrate the Chutz La'aretz, we celebrate the Chag on the 6th and the 7th, Vav and Zayin, but you do not recite Tachanu from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until the 8th. Okay? Dahainu Achar Isru Chag. So he tells you why. Why can't you say Tachanu? Because we're still in a state of celebration, because Isru Chag, the 8th, is considered a significant day. Okay? He tells you where to look for the source. And now I bold it for you, the real topic of the shir. Okay, v'nohagin, and we have a custom. And we already said that the customs are very important because there is no davar mitzvah. And we have a custom, lishtoach asavim b'shavuos b'beis haknesses v'habatim. We have a custom on Shavuos to spread out. I gave you a footnote if you didn't know what listoach means, like me, and I had to look it up. Listoach means, I mean, obviously I knew it had something to, I didn't know what the exact words means. Obviously, he's referring to putting up grasses and plants, but I didn't know what the actual word means. V'nogin listoach asavim b'shavuos. We have a custom to spread out greenery, plants, on Shavuos, but Beis HaKnesses, both in Beis Knesses, V'habatim, and also Nazir. So it's not just something nice that you want to do on a different Yom Tov. The flowers might enhance your Yom Tov. We learned it on Lag BaOmer. We spoke of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai when he came out of the cave. Remember, we spoke about Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Gimel. And he sees the old man running with the two twigs, and he says, where are you going? And the old man says, one for Zachar and one for Shamar. So every other day you want to have flowers, it's an enhancement. But this is one of the strong customs of Shavuos, not just something nice to go buy flowers, but you see that Mamish, the Ramah writes, we have a minhag, where am I up to? Lishtoach asavim b'shavuos b'beis knesses v'abatim. Why? So the question is, why? Zecher l'simchas matan Torah, to remember the joy of the rejoicing of matan Torah. Now, even though there's an asterisk there, which means we're really up to the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not going to interrupt the Ramah. We're going to finish the Seif, and then we'll do the Mishnah Berurah, the great Chafetz Chaim, Zchuso Yagen Eleinu, Zatzal after. So that's what the Ramah tells you. We put the flowers in the Beis Knesses and in the homes in order to remember, quote, the simcha of matan Torah. Okay? V'nohagim b'chol makom, and we have a minhag in every place, la'achol ma'achalei chalav. Another minhag in every place is to eat dairy foods, to eat milchek. B'yom mishon shel Shavuos, on the first day of Shavuos. Again, every place you see that asterisk, that means that's where the Mishnah Berurah comments. We're just going to finish the Ramah first, okay? V'nirali hatam, v'nirali. What is the reason for these customs? So he already told us the reason for the asavim, the plants, the herbage, is to remember the simcha of Matan Torah. What is the reason that we partake of milchik food? V'nirali hatam, the reason appears to me to be, where am I up to? Shahu kamo hashnei tavshilin, Shalochim b'leil Pesach, zecher l'Pesach v'zecher l'chagiga. That's interesting. Remember that Shavuos is connected to Pesach. Shavuos itself does not have even a date. Just like Shemini Atzeres is the Atzeres of Sukkos, Shavuos is the Atzeres of, it's a much longer Chol Hamoed, but Shavuos is the Atzeres of Pesach. It's connected to what came before. So just like on Pesach, you have a roasted bone, you have a zroa, and you have a roasted egg, a beitza, and that is zecher l'korban Pesach, v'zecher l'korban chagiga. So he says, I think we eat milchek. Right? Now, if you're wondering what that has to do with anything, just wait, okay? So I think it appears to me that the reason we eat milchiks is to remember the two cooked foods that we have on Leil Pesach. One is Zecher LePesach, that means Zecher LeKarban Pesach. That's the Zroa, the roasted bone. And the other is Zecher LeKarban Chagiga, the roasted egg. Tein ochim ma'achal chalav, v'achar kach ma'achal basar. So too, we have two different types of cooked foods. First we have melachek, and then we have fleishek. Mitzrichin lehavim mehem shtei lachem al shulchan. And you must bring with these two different meals, first ma'achal chalav, v'achar kach ma'achal basar, and you must bring with them two breads, two loaves to the table. Shehu b'makom ha-mizbeach. We know that the table, the Gemara says, b'feirush, b'zman she-beis ha-mikdash hayah kayim, mizbeach mechaper al ha-adam. Achshav she-ein beis ha-mikdash kayim, shulchan she-adam mechaper al, excuse me, shulchan she-adam mechaper al-adam. So in time of the beis ha-mikdash, the mizbeach used to be kapara. Today we don't have kapara. So what brings us kapara today is the person's table. So he says that you need to bring two loaves to your table, shehu b'makom ha-mizbeach, your table's in the place of the mizbeach, v'yesh b'hem zikaron l'shnei halachem, another zikaron in these two loaves. On Shavuos, we started the Karban Omer on the 16th of Nisan, was the first of the barley, chita usaora. So this festival, these times of this holiday, is a celebration of Chita and Seora. We bring the Karban Omer, which is an Omer of barley, on the 16th of Nisan. Then we count all the way to Shavuos when we bring the Bikurim of wheat. There are Shiva Saminim, Devarim 8a, Chas Pasuchas, Parachas Pasuchas. There are Shiva Saminim. The first two are Chita and Seora. The celebration of Seora is on Pesach. The celebration of Chita is on Shavuos. So what do we bring in the base of Mikdash? Shtei halachim, two loaves of wheat to celebrate Chag HaShavuos. This is an agricultural time in Eretz Yisrael. Keep that in mind. Okay, the Torah, not only does it not call the Yom Tov Atzeres, says nothing about Matan Torah in the Torah. This comes to us from Torah Sheba'al Peh and Divrei Chazal. The Torah itself, you're talking about agriculture. That's what this is. An agricultural time, right? It rains in the winter. Whenever they plant, I'm not exactly sure because I'm not a farmer. Then it rains in the winter. Then everything's sprouting. And now you start to reap the bounty, literally. And you harvest. So as a thanks to God, you bring the omer, which is barley, on Pesach, 16 Nisan, and then you bring the wheat in the form of two loaves of bread. So the Ramah says that there is a zikaron in these two meals you have. First you have ma'achal chalav, and then you have ma'achal basar, and each one needs its own loaf of bread. And there's a zikaron in this to the shnei halachim. Shehayu makrivim b'yam ha-bikurim. The Torah calls Shavuos, besides for Chag HaShavuos, it also calls it Chag HaBikurim. Bikurim is from the word bachar. Bachar means the firstborn. It's Chag HaBikurim because you bring the first of the wheat. Okay, so that's the Ramah. That is the Ramah. All that the Rav Yosef Kara, all that the Shulchan Aruch told us is Asur lehisanos b'motzei Chag HaShavuos. So we have these customs from the Ramah. Now we're going to explore more in depth what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. Yes, let's all turn to page 2, please. Okay, turn to page 2 of your packet. Okay. Actually, I'm going to leave page 1 and page 2 open for myself because I have extra copy. So I could tell you, I'm going for you here. Okay? Okay. So the first thing that we saw is that we eat ma'achal chalav. No. First, we're talking about the greenery. I don't want you to be confused, but what I'm doing now is going back to Seif Gimel. And we're going to go, don't be confused. On the bottom of page 1, there's Seif Gimel. We just went through the whole thing. Remember I told you, every time you see the asterisk, that is a reference to the Mishnah Berurah. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to go through quickly the phrase of the Ramah up to the first asterisk. We'll look at the Mishnah Berurah. Then up to the second, we'll look at the Mishnah Berurah. That's all, nobody should be confused. This is not confusing. I think I do, but I try to make very neat handouts. And I think that, I hope they're very clear. So again, what was the first minig that we have here? V'no'agin lishtoach asavim b'shavuos b'beis ha'knesses v'habatim. We have a minig to put out grasses, herbage, and base knesses and homes. Zecher l'simchas matan Torah. To remember the simcha of matan Torah. So now we're going to the Mishnah Berurah. And what does the Mishnah Berurah say? On the top of page 2. Zecher l'simchas matan Torah. So the Chofetz Chaim is going to explain to us why does greenery have to do anything with matan Torah. It was in a desert. What does it have to do with anything? Shahayu sham asavim saviv har Sinai. Because there was herbage, there was grasses, greenery around har Sinai. How do you know? What is the proof for that? Kidichtiv, like the pasuk says, I gave you the source in your hand. Oh, hatson v'habakar al yirau. The sheep and cattle cannot graze. Now, if they're told not to graze on the mountain, then what does that mean must be on the mountain? Herbage for grazing. Otherwise, Hashem would not say they can't graze. They're not going to eat dirt. Cows and flocks and sheep and cattle don't eat dirt. They eat hay. They eat grass. So if they're specifically told you cannot graze, it must be that the mountain was green. It was full of greenery. They're told not to graze. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And therefore, that is what the most, I think that this is the most famous reason of why people know that we put out herbage on the Yom Tov. Because remember the Har Sinai. But I also thought that this brand new share for me, by the way, totally brand new. And I never knew that the source was the pasuk that says the sheep and cattle cannot graze. If they can't graze, it must mean that there is grasses on the mountain. Okay. Kasvu ha'achronim. Oh, I found this so interesting also. You're not allowed to interrupt your davening from the time of Baruch Sha'amar through the Shemona Esrei for talking. You're not allowed to do other things than talk. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not teaching halacha l'maisa, but we all know the basic halacha is that unless there's some compelling reason or emergency to talk, you're not allowed to talk. So you're not allowed to interrupt. So what's going to happen when you have to make a bracha, they're going to bring in these flowers and these plants, and it's going to smell very nice, but you're not allowed to make a bracha, bare atzei besamim, bare asvei besamim. So what's going to happen? Kasvu achronim b'makom shenoagim lechalek asavim hamirichim b'beis haknesses. So in the places where you have a custom to put out flowers with a scent, so sometimes you just put out trees and they don't have any scent, but let's say you put out roses, or you put out lilies, or you put out hyacinths, they have very strong scent. So if you put out asavim hamirichim b'beis haknesses, so what? Lo yichalku mibarach she'amar ar achar tefila shmona esrei. You cannot have a separation or a division. You're not going to be able to make a bracha from shmona esrei to after the tefila of shmona esrei. Kedei sheyuchal levarech aleihen, because you're going to have to be able to make a bracha. So you shouldn't smell them. Make sure that it's not too smelly in a positive way by the time when you're davening, because it's going to be a problem. You're standing next to this beautiful flower, and the hyacinth is like, you know, pulsating its beautiful scent. And lilacs. Someone puts lilacs in the shoe. They smell gorgeous, but you're not allowed to interrupt yourself. So you have to be careful. Because we know that it is usher to have a hafsik. So I just thought, not the focus of the shiur, but I also thought that that was an interesting halacha. Furthermore, no hagim lahamid ilanos bebeis haknesses ubebatim. We are still in the Mishnah Brura. We're still in the first teaching of the Mishnah Brura. No hagim lahamid ilanos bebeis haknesses ubebatim. We have a minhag to put up trees and base knesses and the homes. Zecher, another reason. So the first reason he already told us is because the proof that the animals can't graze means the mountain must have been green. So one is Zecher la Har Sinai. Second reason, Zecher sheba'atzeres nidonu al peros ha'ilan. We are judged on Shavuos for the fruit of the trees. I gave you a footnote. When I put in a footnote, it's important that you look at it. Okay? The Mishnah in Masachas Rosh Hashanah, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, tells you right there, Ba'arba Prakim Ha'olam Nidon, the world is judged in four chapters, in four times, if you will. But Pesach ala tfuah, on Pesach we are judged over crops. Ba'atzeres al peros ha'ilan. On Shavuos, says the Mishnah, we are judged for the fruit of the trees. Will it be a bountiful year for the Jaffa oranges? Will it be a plentiful year for the sweet tomatoes that come out of Israel? Will it be a wonderful year for the grapes and the dates and the olives and the, what will it be? When are we judged for all of that? On Shavuos. You see it in the Mishnah. It's right there in my footnote. Ba'arba prakim ha'olam nidon, be'pasach ala tfuah, ba'atzeras al peiros ha'ilan, b'rosh Hashanah kol ba'ar olam. Avrim lefan of Kanei B'nar Maran, that's us. Ubechag nidonin al hamayim. And on Sukkot we're judged for water. So on Pesach we're judged for tevua, the crops, the grains. On Atzeres we're judged for the fruit of the trees. On Sukkot we're judged for water. That's why in Sukkot we have nisuch hamayim. The Simchas Beis Hashoev was a celebration where they poured the water because they were judged for water. Right? We also daven for rain then. Again, we're talking about Shavuos. So this is very interesting. Another reason that you're supposed to have these flowers and plants is to remember, it's a zecher, sheba'atzeres, that on Shavuos, nidonu al peros ha'ilan, we are being judged on the fruit of the trees, Magen Avram. Oh, so that's from the Magen Avram, the Chavetz Chaim quotes him. The next thing I found amazing, the Hagra, and the great Vilna Gaon, Bital Min Hagzu. If you didn't look, if you looked, so you know the answer. If you did not look, is there anyone who didn't look? Did you looked? Why do you think that the Vilna Gaon says not to put up plants and trees? Yeah. I can hear.
It's reminiscent of perhaps churches.
It's reminiscent of?
Non-Jewish.
Oh, so look what the Gra says. V'hagra bitel min hagzeh, mishum sha'achshav hu chok ha'amim laha'amir ilanos b'chag shalahem. The Vilna Gaon says we should abolish this custom. Why? Because the Goyim on their holiday put up a tree. So, no, not, it's mamish in there. I'm reading it to you. You're following. I'm not reading it to you. You're following along with me. That's amazing. Because the Goyim, b'chag shalahem lahavdil, have a chok, laha'amid ilanos, Therefore, the Vilna Gaon says, Bital Minagze, according to the Vilna Gaon, you should not forget, you're going to daven for your fruit if you know that on Atzeres, you're judged for the fruit trees. Because if you know the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, you don't need a tree to remind you. And you're going to celebrate Matan Torah. And remember that the cattle couldn't graze without the flowers. But the Vilna Gaon says, once it becomes Chol Kagoyim, it becomes the custom, not the custom, the law. It is Dvarim HaChakukin Lahen. It's things that become engraved like their laws. Once it's the law of the Goyim. So the Vilna Gaon says, Mishum Shachshav Chol Kagoyim, Bital Minhagza. So is that talk of how we practice? So I'm going to venture to say that any shul you've been in on Shavuos has some sort of greenery. And any home that you've been in on Shavuos has, so whether it's very fancy or very simple or two twigs, some degree of branches and flowers. So I will tell you, my son very kindly lets me utilize his farm. This is the Mishnah Berurah Dirshu. And they have, besides for the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, they also have Biurim Umusafim from contemporary, I don't want to use the word modern day either. Godolim in our time. They bring you added halachos from Godolim in our time. So they have a little number in the, it's a fabulous set. They have a number in the Mishnah Berurah, just like in the Ramah, there's a number when you should refer to the Mishnah Berurah. There's a little number in the Mishnah Berurah when you should refer to Biurim Musafim. Are they Gedolim and how do they Paskin? So how do we talk a Paskin? Do we Paskin like the Vilna Gaon, which is that we're not allowed to have trees because the Goyim have a tree? Here we go. Inyan Shetichas Asavim, regarding the matter of spreading out the greenery. Das Hagaon. Okay, so the stipler teaches us, not only the stipler, in Orchos Rabbeinu. Furthermore, Hagaon Rav Shlomo Zalman teaches us, She'eino Biklal Chok Ha'amim. According to the stipler and of Shlomo Zalman, it is not in the category of Chok Ha'amim. V'lachein Mutar. And therefore, it is mutter lesotcham to spread out the flowers. V'chein das ha-go'an Rav El-Yashav. This is also the opinion of Rav El-Yashav. Okay? And also, you could see in the Shayos of Tuvas of Igros Moshe. And the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, quotes, according to the Gra, you should not spread out of ein l'stoach afilu asavim. According to Rav Moshe, when he quotes the Vilna Gaon in Igros Moshe, which I did not look up for purpose of this year, but he actually goes, you shouldn't even put out grass. Now, they put up a mamash tree. So the Gaon is saying, is he saying, don't put up a tree or don't put up any kind of herbage? According to Rav Moshe's interpretation of the Vilna Gaon, you should not even put out grasses. Ein l'shtoach afilu asavim. V'chein hivi b'shem ha'aruch ha'shochan. Rav Moshe also quotes the Aruch ha'shochan, who paskins the same. Okay? However, the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, who were brothers-in-law, no hagu b'eretz yisrael shalol l'shtoach afilu asavim. In Eretz Yisrael, they had a mig, not even to put out the grasses. V'av apisha savar, even though the stipler says that asavim are not chukas hagoyim, he still said that in Eretz Yisrael we don't put out grasses. So this is very interesting. So definitely we have a long-standing and strongly entrenched custom that we do put out grasses, but we have seen the different opinions, and Rav Moshe quotes the Aruch HaShulchan as well as the Gra, and you see the Mishnah Berurah right here inside for yourself, not to do it because of chukas hagoyim, even though Rav Shlomo Zalman says it is not chukas hagoyim and it is mutter to spread them out, but the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, who are brothers-in-law, said, Be'eretz Yisrael shalolis nohagu be'eretz Yisrael I do not think, and I am not a rabbi, but I do not think that this is how the vast majority of Klal Yisrael paskins, but I think it's extremely interesting to consider, and it shows you also how far you have to stay away from anything that is tainted by Chukas Hagoyim, by their customs and their practices. It's so easy for the Yetzer HaHara, you know, if I put up a tree now in Sivan, then maybe also in December I'll put up a tree. I'm not saying anyone here is going to do that, but it's not a joke. When the Gra says not to put it up, and the Aruch HaShulchan says not to put it up. So they mean for a very specific reason. The Yetzer Hara is very strong. You have to stay away from anything that could be an allusion even to the Chukas HaGoyim, ad kedei kach, that you might have to abolish a minhag b'Yisrael if it is relevant to the Chukas HaGoyim. Very, very interesting. We do not paskin like that, as we see. So what are the two reasons that the Mishkan Brura gave us? One is to remember Matan Torah. It had herbage and greenery, as evidenced by the fact that the animals were not allowed to graze. And the second reason is, like we saw in the Mishnah, in Rosh Hashanah, we're judged, okay? Pesach, we're judged on the Tvua. Shavuos, Peros Ha'ilan. Sukkos, we are judged on Mayim. And therefore, on these festivals, you should daven for all of these things. Okay? Good? Interesting? Amazing. Okay, let's go back now, back to the bottom of page one. Don't be confused. We're going to go to the next asterisk, okay? So the bottom of page one, Seif Gimel, third line. Page one on the bottom. Seif Gimel, third line. Bebeisa Knesses v'habatim zecha l'simchas matan Torah. We just explored that in depth. Next. Now, what's the next minhag? V'nogim b'chol makom l'achom achalei chalav. Ah, b'chol makom. That's very strong lashon of the Ramah. We have a custom in every place to eat dairy foods. You see the asterisk? But let's just do two so we don't have to turn back to page one. I don't have to make you confused. B'yom rishon shel Shavuos. So the Ramah says there's a minhag in every place on the first day of Shavuos to eat melachiks, dairy. Let's go back now to page two. Let's go to the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, for those on Zoom, here you are. Ma'achalei chalav. Sometimes I feel like there are certain teachers who have a very specific style. Like there are certain teachers who always give out a very big source packet, you know, and that's their style. And there are certain ones who are very story focused and they always tell stories and that's their style. And there are some who are very hashkafic, and that's your style. And there are some who are very halachic, and that's your style. I feel like I don't have a specific style. Like, whatever, I just want to teach Torah. So sometimes we're more hashkafic, sometimes we're more text-based. And today it's very text-based, like you're in seminary, Lahavda, I'm sorry, but like in a higher age, okay? And really, what is the halacha? Why are we doing these things? Do we even know why we're doing them? Because one time I heard that I was in school, that there were flowers on our Sinai, so I put up flowers. So I think it's fascinating. You know, hashkafa is also very, very interesting. Well, that is hashkafa. Stay away from Chukos HaGoyim. But I think it's just so fascinating to see what the actual halacha is and go back to the source, and we should know why we're doing what we're doing. So ma'achalei chalav. So the Ramah tells us that there's a minhag in every place to eat ma'achalei chalav. Let's look. Ayein magen Avraham. So check out the magen Avraham. Va'ani shemati od b'shem gadol achad. You sometimes wonder when a gadol writes it, is he talking about himself? Okay, I once saw that brought down, that in their humility, especially the Chofetz Chaim, besides for everything else he was known for, Shmiras HaLashon, Mishneh Berurah, Sefer Nidche Yisrael, Ahavas Chesed, his humility was, if you read about him, off the charts. So, Anisha Matiyot B'Shem Gadol Achad. So, in other words, this could be his own insight. I heard in the name of a certain Gadol, Sha'amar, Tam Nachon Lazah. He gave a good reason for doing this. Ki Be'esha Amdu Al Har Sinai, at the time when the people stood at Har Sinai, V'kiblu HaTorah, and they received the Torah. Ki Baseres HaDibros Nisgala Lehem Ayidei Zakol Chelkei HaTorah, K'moshe Kasav Rav Sajah Gaon, Shabaseres HaDibros Kolal Kol Torah. If you look in Rashi, the Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chof Dalet, I believe it's Pasuk Yir Beis, I don't have a Chumash in front of me right now. Okay, if you look in Parshas Mishpatim, which is Perek Chof Dalet of Shemos, I think it's Pasuk Yir Beis, and I'm looking it up because once I quote it, I want to be sure. Rashi quotes from Sa'adja Gaon, who says that all of Torah Shebaal Peh was given to Moshe at Har Sinai as well. Yeah. There, Rabbi Sa'adja Gaon says that all, okay, it is. It's Perek Shemos, Perek Chavdalet, Pasuk Yud Beis with Rashi, where Rav Sa'adja Gaon, where are you people? Oh, one second. I have to go back to my Zoom. Okay. Rav Saadia Gaon says that all the 613 mitzvahs are included in the Aseres HaDibros. And all the 613 mitzvahs included in the Aseres HaDibros includes all of Tosha Baal Peh. Everything was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. So the parentheses here, what the Mishnah Berurah just told you, is that all of the mitzvahs were revealed to Moshe through the Aseres HaDibros. Okay? So let's go. Oh, wait, no, I'm supposed to be... I'm sorry. I'm going back to screen share for you. Here we are. Okay. Can you see I went back to the screen? I got confused for a minute with the screen share. I can't see anybody. Yes, you can, Paula. Yes. Okay. Let's go. So at the time when they stood at Har Sinai, v'kiblu haTorah, and they received the Torah, parentheses, in the Aseres HaDibros, all mitzvos are included, says Rav Saadia Gaon. V'yardu min ahar lebatim, so they came down from the mountain, they weren't really on the mountain, but they came down from the foothills of the mountain. Lo matzu malachol tekef, what happened? They really didn't just get the Aseres HaDibros, they got called Torah kulo. So what did they realize? They have nothing to eat. The only thing they could eat is dairy, because dairy is not so complicated. Like, first of all, everything was Chalav Yisrael, because they didn't have Dunkin' Donuts and Edie's ice cream and Entenmann's. There were no goyim making their food, and someone's giving a hechsher. Why not? Because they were in the desert. Okay? So what's the problem? There was nothing to eat. Ki lebasar tzarich hachana. When it comes to eating meat, there needs to be a lot of hachana rabba. Lishchol b'sakin bodei kasher tziva Hashem. The knife has to be perfectly sharp, and the shochet, I do not know hilchos shechita at all. But you need to have a very sharp knife that the shochet needs to check with his nail. Can't even have any nicks. Look how careful Hashem is concerned for the animal that couldn't have any suffering. L'umas olam, pita. They accuse us of animal cruelty. Hashem is so careful in his halachos that there should not be any pain unnecessarily to the animal. Adam, you have to know how to do nikur and take out the veins and the forbidden fats and the bloods. Does anyone know lahadiach means? I don't know. I'm asking you. It's something to do with the koshering of the animal, and you have to know how to salt the animal. Ulivashel bekelim chadashim. Our pots aren't kosher. We have nothing to eat. Ki akelim shahayu lahem mikodem, because the pots that they had shabishu lahem, but also meis leis. They were constantly cooking in them from time to time. Nesru lahem. They're now usher. Yesterday I cooked a cheese omelet. Today I'm making fried pastrami. Now you know what it is.
No, I don't. What about the man?
What did she say? I can't hear.
Man.
So I thought of the exact same thing. I was going to say it at the end of the simon here. I thought of the exact same thing. But let's just finish before we interrupt, please, okay? So they need to do all these processes in order to actually eat meat. But we know that they did eat meat in the desert. Ki akelim shayu lahem mikodem shabishu lahem ba'oschum me'es le'es. Knesru lahem alkeim bachru lahem lefi sha'ama achalei chalav. They made a horasha. They made a ruling for the hour. We're not going to eat any meat because clearly we don't know how to keep kosher. Ve'anu osin zachar lezach. We do a remembrance for us. So Diana, I had the exact same question when I was preparing the shiur. I don't have an answer. I thought about it. What do you mean they only ate ma'achalei chalav because they weren't cooking kosher? Even if you say that meat fell in the desert for them, that's not until Parshas Baaloscha when the slav comes in. But they did have cattle. But wait a minute. They were bringing karbanos. And with the karbanos, the kohen eats and the baal Korban also eats certain portions, depending on type of korban it is, or the korban pesach they ate, so they were eating meat in the desert. The chalavi part is also interesting, because, I don't know, I think that it's also an interesting idea. I don't have a clear answer for you, okay?
I don't think they had it yet.
What?
The man, they didn't have it yet.
What did you say, Kim?
Maybe they didn't get it yet. Maybe
the
mind,
the
mind,
they didn't have it yet.
They did have it. It fell in Perek Tes Zion, of Shemos and Matan Torahs and Perachof.
Yeah, but maybe time-wise,
isn't it?
That
what?
Was that the time? Is that the
so Ramban does not believe, you should just know, Ramban does not believe in Ein Mukdam Meuchar B'Torah. We certainly cannot quote that principle. Right? If Rashi wants to tell me ein muktam u'muchar b'torah by perach of dalet and mishpatim that it really comes before perach of alef chav beis and chav gimel, then maybe. But I certainly cannot just quote that if something doesn't work for me. They got the man when in perach tes zayin right after kriyas yamsuf and mara the man fell down. Then perach yud zayin amalek attacks. Then perach yud ches yisro comes and give advice, which Rashi says is out of order. Then perach yud tes is introduction to har sinai and perach is Matan Torah. So I'm not sure. Then I had the same question. I thought that it was a very compelling question. I don't know the answer. They certainly ate meat in the desert. That we do know. Were they eating chalavi? Were they eating cheesecake and cheese blintzes? I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe they milked the cows and had milk. I mean, that's very, very possible and also very plausible. Okay, let's go. Now, if you remember, I don't want to make you turn the page. I told you we're going to do two asterisks at the same time. Since I have multiple copies, I'll just tell you what the Ramah had said. He said, Nohagim b'chama kom l'achol ma'achalei chalav. We just spoke about that. B'yom rishon shel Shavuos. On the first day of Shavuos. So we know that we have chalav when not only on the first day of Shavuos, but also on the second day of Shavuos. So what does the Mishnah Berurah have to say? I'm in the middle of page two, ladies. B'yom rishon. Okay, simen yud gimel. Gam nohagim b'ktzat mekomo l'achol devash v'chalav. And sir, I'm in the middle of page two. Simen Yom Gimorah is still in the Mishnah Berurah here. Gam Nohagim B'Ktzat Mekomos. There's also a minhag in certain certain places. La'achol Devash V'Chalav. To eat not only dairy, but to eat honey cheesecake. Why? Ripnei HaTorah. Because of Torah Shenim Shalal Devash V'Chalav. Because the Torah is as sweet as honey. And as tasty as milk, Kamosha Kasuv, I gave you the pasuk, it's in Shir HaShir, in Perek Dal, pasuk Gedal, if you look at your footnote, Kamosha Kasuv, Devash V'Chalav, Tachas L'Shonecha. The pasuk says, in Shir HaShirim, that honey and milk are under your tongue, and the Mishnah Berurah says, this is a reference to Torah, which is as sweet as honey and milk. So the Mishnah Berurah says that some people have a minhag not only to eat cheese, but to eat cheese products that are sweet. I want to venture to say, except for the Greek salad, most of our cheese products are sweet. Blint souffle is sweet, and cheesecake is sweet, and the ice cream we eat for dessert is sweet, and cheese latkes are sweet. Okay, go back to page one. Okay, Seif Gimel. Fourth line. Page one, Seif Gimel, fourth line. Vinirali, third word. Vinirali hatam, shahu kamo shne hashne tavshilin. This is the Ramah. The Ramah says, I think the reason that we eat dairy on Shavuos is because it reminds us of the two cooked foods that they took on Leil Pesach. One is Zecha l'Korban Pesach, the bone. One is Zecha l'Korban Chagiga, the roasted egg. Kein ochli ma'achalei chalav v'achar kach ma'achal basar. So too, we eat ma'achalei chalav, and after you eat fleishek. Okay. V'tzrichin la'vi mehem shtei lachem. You need to bring two loaves ala shulchan. Okay, so now let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah. Please turn back to page 2. Yadalet. So the Ramah just told us, now by the way, the Ramah's reason for eating milchik seems nothing to have to do with having milchik. He says you eat milchik to remember the two tavshidin on Pesach. So you could just say, make kiddush, make an al hamichya, have some cholot, and then go to your main. Why dafka chalavi is one and bishari is the other? Kama shni tavshidin, says the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Rotzel amar, kishem shebe Pesach osin zecha lo korban. What do we mean to say? Just like on Pesach, we have a zecha lo korban. The roasted shank bone is a zecha lo korban Pesach. Kain anu tzrichim lasot b'shavuos zecha lo shtei lechem. Okay, if you look in the Pesach and Perach of Gimel, you will see that on Shavuos you bring the two shtei halachem. We have to have a zechira, the special offering of Shavuos was the shtei halachem. We have to have a remembrance on Shavuos to the shtei halachem, shahayim mevi'in, that they used to bring va'al kein ochim achalei chalav, va'achar kach machalei basar. Therefore, we eat two different meals, which are representing the two different loaves. So first we eat dairy, and after we eat meat. But the Mishnah Berurah says you have to be very careful. No one should think we're recommending mixing milk and meat. You have to bring two loaves. Da'asur la'achol basar v'chalav mi lachem echad. No. By the way, this is like also practical. If you have by Shabbos lunch, you slice your challah, and then you put, I'm not talking about you cut a piece for lechem mishnah, you take the loaf back, and nobody's eating from that. You cut the whole challah, you put it in a bread basket in the middle of the table, and you serve your schnitzel, and your cholent, and your pastrami, and your deli roll, and your fleishuk, you know, taco salad. And then there's a lot of challah that didn't get eaten, and it sat in the middle of the table. And now you put it in a bag, because you don't want to waste your homemade challah. And then it's challah shudas in the summer, and the day is so long, and now you serve a feta salad. So that bread that you had on the table sliced with your fleishuk meal, you cannot make into French toast on Sunday morning unless you're using almond milk, okay? You have to be careful. No, I'm being serious. The asul la'achol basar v'chalav milachem echad. So the Mishnah Berurah says this is what the Ramah means in bringing two different types of meals. First, machalei chalav, followed by machalei basar. Make sure it doesn't include hard cheese, which you're going to see in a moment. Chalav kasher, he's going to write gvina kasher. Make sure it doesn't include hard cheese, but you have to make sure it's separate, and you have to make sure that this loaf or this bilkel is going with my melachik meal, and then this bilkel is going with my fleishik meal. Shtei alachem, continues the Mishnah Berurah, right at the bottom of page 2. V'lachei nahagu la'afo, bottom of page 2. You shouldn't be turning the page. I'm at the bottom of page 2. V'lachei nahagu la'afo lachem echad im chem'ah. The Mishnah Berurah says, so you don't confuse your bread, maybe it's a good idea to cook one loaf with butter. It would probably be very delicious. Da'az b'vadai yitztarech la'vi lachem acher la'acholim basar. Now, because let's say you're going to rationalize. Nobody's chillin' dripped on the bread in the middle of the table. It's really not a problem. Nobody touched it with dirty hands. Why can't I serve it by my feta salad 7.5 hours later? I don't want to waste all this bread. There's a mitzvah bal tashchis, a lav. So I'm going to serve it. You're going to start to rationalize. But if the bread that's going with your dairy meal has been baked in a pan that's been coated, not with pan, but with butter, so no self-respecting Jew is going to now confuse that bread and say, you know, I think I'm going to serve this with fleishuk. You're not going to do that. Da'az b'vaday yitztarech la'vi lachem acher la'chol im basar. For sure then, if you bake the milachik loaf, you know, my sister-in-law makes for Shavuos, I've never made them, but she makes them in a bun pan, dairy garlic knots. It's a challah recipe. She stuffs, then you roll a little piece, you put a piece of cheese inside, you roll the ball over the cheese, you dip it in like an oregano, olive oil, garlic mixture, put it into the pan. Oh my gosh, I never made it, but it sounds amazing. And then you serve it on the side with warm marinara sauce. It's delicious. Yeah. My farauke makes it. She once gave me the recipe. Like, Michal Horowitz does not have time for this. So if anyone ever has extra and you want to give me a piece, I look forward to it. So you're not going to eat that with fleishuk, because no self-respecting Jew is then going to come to pastrami and say, oh, you know the leftover bread from the garlic nash shavuos brunch that we had? I'm going to use it now. You're not going to use it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, so maybe taka, that's what you should do. Bake a dairy loaf, because then you don't have a problem. However, you have to be very careful, the Mishnah Berurah tells you. Why? Because you have to be careful in your baking and in your oven. You can't rationalize in there either. So I didn't understand every word here, but instead of not giving it to you, I did give it to you because we could understand what he is telling us. If you know the words that I don't know, you're welcome to fill me in. Okay, the dearest from Mishnah Berurah, I don't even know if they have Mishnah Berurah in English. V'yizaher az lahasik hatanur yafeh bein lachem lo lachem. You have to be very careful that when you take your dairy loaf out, and it's all steamy and boiling hot, and some of that cheese, Parmesan, dripped, you know, on the rack. Now what are you going to go put in? Your bread that you're eating with your pastrami. That's a problem. So you have to be very careful with the oven. I don't know what lahasik means. Doesn't mean to clean, doesn't mean to kosher. The reason I still gave it to you is because we can all understand what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, even though I don't know that exact word. V'gan tzarich mardeh chadashah. I don't know what mardeh means either. Delo, and I think it must mean some kind of loaf pan. Tray, pan, whatever you bake the bread on. Dilo kimiktsat nashim. Shemehavchinoso al tzad hasheni. So you have some kind of pan or a rack or insert for, what's the word I'm looking for? Mold for bake, not M-O-U-L-D. Oh no, I'm from Canada. Not like mold that grows on old food. I mean like a bread mold, okay? I need tissues. I see there's a box there, Barna, there's a box behind you.
Oh, the box right there.
Oh, perfect. It's a big mitzvah. Could I keep this? Could I keep this?
We have this for you.
Awesome. Tiski the mitzvah. These are amazing. And thank you so much. Okay, so then, you know what the problem is? I need an hour and a half for this year. No, I'm not joking. I would continue next week, but by next week, no one's going to be interested in why we have greenery on Shavuos. Chas v'shem, you should always be interested. So now, where am I up to? Yeah, so you have this mold, this pan for baking bread, okay? And so what do some women do? They use the one side for melacha, and then they turn it over, and they use the other side for the bread that they're going to serve with the pastrami. That's what he says. What, do you hear something?
No, it's talking about in the days when people didn't have...
I can't hear.
It's talking about in the days when people didn't have...
Of course. I know that Mishnah Berurah is a Chafetz Chaim. He died in the early 1930s. Obviously, we're talking about when people were very poor. They don't have what we had today. Two ovens. Some people have three ovens and all our pantries and all our fridges. Of course. But just because you only have one pan, you still can't cook treif. That's still not an excuse. So you can't say, I'm going to turn it over to the second side and use. Of course, no one today would dream of this. But the Mishnah Berurah is saying, even if you lived in Radin in 1890, you still can't turn it over. If you just bake your cheese-stuffed garlic knots to serve with marinara to Shavuos Kiddush, and an hour later you're having your fleishik suda, you still can't turn it over. Kosher is kosher, whether you're poor or whether you're rich. I don't know exactly what that means, but he's clearly talking about the fact that if you turn it over, you're going to have the tom and the cheese and the fats from the first dripping onto the second. You can't do that. Okay, amazing. Let's go back to the bottom of page one. Line, the second to last line from the bottom. Kein ochin ma'achal chalav, v'achar kach ma'achal basar. Remember, we're back in the Ramama. Okay? V'tzrichid na'vim hem shtei lachem. We learned that. We just spoke all about the shtei lachem. It's remembering the shtei lachem that were brought on Shavuos, the wheat, the two loaves, but the Mishnah Berurah cautions us how to be careful with that. Ala shulchan. You have to have two loaves on the shulchan. Shehu v'makom ha'mizbeach. The shulchan's in the place of the mizbeach. V'yesh b'zeh zikaron the shnei halachem. There is a remembrance of the shnei halachem that they would bring on Yom HaBikurim, which is Shavuos. Go back to the Mishnah Berurah. We are now at the top of page 3. It's fascinating. Al HaShulchan, he gives you another tip in kashrus. Look at this. And you're right. People didn't have 8 tablecloths. But you still can have your drippings from your garlic cheesy knots going under your chulit. Look what he says next. When the Rama tells you that you should have 2 loaves on the table, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'yizahir likach mapa acheres. So today you might use a plastic, or today you might switch in between. You have to be careful. Or you have a placemat, whatever your mapa is. If it's a placemat, a tablecloth, a plastic, you have to be very careful. You have to be careful to take a different mapa, a different table cover, or tablecloth after you switch from the dairy meal to the meat meal. The ein tzarich lahafsik bebirkas hamazon. So your men came home from Shul, and now it's 11:30, okay, or whatever. They're finally waking up. They're in Shul. It doesn't matter. You have the first. You make kiddush b'makom seuda, and now you wash, and you're having the cheesy garlic knots. He told me to bake bread and butter. I went all out. I baked the most dairy bread you can make. I didn't use the same pan. I cleaned my oven. I served my gvina with chalav. I have blintzes in honey sauce. And I have feta salad. And I have cheesecake with ice cream for desserts. The best meal of the year. I clean out my mouth. I did not eat Parmesan cheese. I did not eat any aged cheese. And now, do I have to bench before my next meal? I changed the tablecloth. Maybe they had mouths with them rather than in the 1870s. I don't think so, but whatever. They washed their mouth. Now they want to bring the second loaf, which they kashered the oven, found a different pan, and they want to serve cholent and pastrami. So the Mishnah Berurah said, by the way, do not take any halachic psak from anything Michal Horowitz says. We are learning the sources. If you halachal ha'maisa, like your mom is serving, I don't think anyone like does this. I don't think that anyone today serves meat and milk in the same meal. We do not do that. Okay? If you mamish for some reason actually want to do that, which I can't imagine why you would want to do that, please ask a shayla. I'm very clear in saying I'm not paskening anything. We are simply going through the fascinating halachic sources. And I think it's very important. You should know why we're doing what we're doing. However, Mishnah Berurah says, Ein tzarich lafsik bebirkas hamazon. Take a walk upstairs, use your mouth. They didn't have upstairs probably around in the 1800s either. Use your mouthwash, clear everything off. New tablecloth. Now you can serve your pastrami. Im eino chal gvina kasha. Here you go. That's only if at the first meal you did not eat aged cheeses. If you ate the hard aged cheeses, then you're going to have a different problem because now you're not going to be able to have the second su'uda to remember the second loaf, which is fleshex. Ala yikanach piv yafeh v'yadiach k'di'isa b'yoredeya. Okay, so what do you have to do? You just have to clean out your mouth very well. Make sure that there's no remnant of cheese or ice cream or gvina with davash. Clean out your mouth. And now you don't even have to bench. Amazing. Zikara, I cannot believe that we have been learning and I've been talking for 55 minutes straight and I'm only up to here. Okay. I really, really want to finish this whole shiur. I might just talk to myself if everybody leaves. And then you could, yes, I should talk to myself? Okay. Final teaching of the Mishnah Berurah for today's class. Zikaron l'shtei halachem. Ve'im kein yushal chitin. Dugmat shtei halachem. So if you really want to remember the shtei halachem, what did I tell you before? In the Torah, Pesach to Shavuos, including Omer, is an agricultural festival. Torah doesn't say anything about Rabbi Akiva, and it does not say anything else about Matan Torah. Doesn't even call it a tzaras. It is from the barley harvest, Bikurim, 16th Nisan, to the beginning of the wheat harvest, Bikurim of Chita. So if you really want to remember the Shtei Halachim, which is the whole purpose of milk followed by meat, then don't come up with grain-free flour and quinoa flour and brown rice flour and chickpea flour and say, you know, it's bread. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what kind of bread should you be baking? Shachita should be glue in full. Make it from wheat. Because what were the shtei halachem? Hello? Wheat. Okay. And you have to be careful with machalei chalav and basar, like the whole rest of the year. So that he ends by saying, you know, just because it's a yantuf where you enjoy the milachek, it doesn't mean the laws of kashrus go out the window. Yesh li zaher binyan ma'achalei basar v'chalav b'chol ma'ashen yisarim b'chol hashana. So just like you're so careful the whole year not to mix milk and meat, you have to be very careful, even more careful on Shavuos. Why? Because in a regular Yom Tov, you don't have a milchak meal. Hamuva ar b'yoradeya v'shalo letzei tzcharam behefsadam. Don't get so much schar for eating milchaks. You're so makbar on the milchaks that you're going to lose all the schar because what happened? You ended up mixing milk and meat. Fascinating. These are the halachos, including some reasons of why we have asavim, don't forget the Vilna Gaon, and chalav on Shavuos. Hashem, help me. I'm going to keep talking and teaching, and we'll see. Some other reasons for chama and chalav. When I was preparing this shiur, this strongly came to mind, the next source. And the reason it came to my mind, I didn't see this brought down anywhere, so if it's wrong, it's on me. But specifically, we have seen that the shtei halacham is reminiscent of the milachik, it should remind us of shtei halacham. And it's not just to have milachik. In the Sefer, the making of a minhag, okay, by Rabbi Moshe Walter, which I thought I was going to quote something from, but I don't have time. But he points out that it's a Yom Tov, and you have to eat fleishiks on Yom Tov. Okay, you must have basar v'yad. We go away to the Shavuos program. They didn't have it 20 or 21 because of COVID, so we haven't been there since 2019. But when they serve, and it's a different keir this year, so I'm not sure what it's going to be, but when they serve the melechek, the main dining room, they always have a smaller side dining room with fleishiks. And who goes to the side dining room with fleishiks besides other people? We have seen who's there. Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. Okay? You have to be careful. Again, ask your Rav. I'm not telling you what to do. But if you have a kiddush of milchiks, it is a Yom Tov. And it says in the Sefer, in the making of a minhag, that if you can't have all your meals milchik on Shavuos because you need to have Bashar and Yayin, you need to have meat to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. Again, I'm going to reiterate what I said. I'm not pashkening, but if your person was four milchik meals and you literally don't buy anything fleishiks for Shavuos, you should probably, from all my preparation of the shiur, and I'm not even going to have time to quote all my sources, it seems to be pretty clear that you should not only be eating milchiks. I'm not telling you what to do. It's between you and God. But if you hopefully have a rav, you should probably ask if you need to be eating some fleishiks. It's not so clear that you could eat only milchik. Even you saw from the Mishnah Berurah, Befeirush, he does not say eat only melacheks. You should first have your melachek, wash out your mouth. It was gvina kasha, you have a bigger problem. Make sure you keep all the laws of kosher, but then you should have ma'achalei basar. So if you're a person who only has melachek on Shavuos, it might be time to change your custom once you ask a shayla. So the fact that it has to be two meals reminded me of Avram Avinu. Because when the Malachim come to Avram Avinu, and there's a questionable pasuk that the Mefarshim speak about, which is the next source on your handout. Where am I? The middle of page 3. Okay, Bereishis 18:18, Parak Yirchas Pasuchas. Okay, like the top third of page 3. Vayikach chema v'chalav. He takes butter and milk. Uben habakar asher asa. And the young calf that he prepared, he gave them tongue and mustard sauce. Vayitein lifkneihem. And he stands and he gives it to them. He puts it before them. And he is standing to serve them under the tree, and they ate. Now they're malachim, so it doesn't matter. They're not really eating in the first place. But what do we learn from Avram? And why did this remind me of this idea of first serving a dairy meal and then serving a meat meal? Because that's exactly what Avram did. It doesn't say he took chema, ben bakar, and chalav, and served it to them. First, he served them the dairy meal. Then maybe he brought them mouthwash. Then they ate the ben bakar. So you see a precedent for this in the Torah, to have a dairy meal fall, and it wasn't aged cheese, because he just prepared it right then when they showed up. So you serve your dairy, and then you take a break. It would have been really nice if it was Shavuos, but it's not. The Malachim came to him on Pesach. So that part doesn't work out, but you do see proof that you kind of have your chema and chalav first, followed by your baked in the proper oven in a different utensil, if you don't have to wait 6 hours. Skip. Go to Shemos 2:7. Skip Shemos 23:19. Okay, Shemos 23:19 tells you as follows. That's not skip. Okay, that's also Parshas Mishpatim, by the way. There's two mitzvos that seem to be totally unrelated in this pasuk. It's very strange. Reishis bikure ad mascha tavi beis Hashem elkecha. You should bring bikurim to the house of Hashem. Lo tavasha gildi b'chelev imo. You should not cook meat in its mother's milk. Why do you put, don't mix milk and meat, right after bring your bikurim? What does one have to do with the other? So I saw a very interesting answer. Where is it up to? Why these two seemingly different subjects are juxtaposed in the same pasuk? This comes from the Shlach. Shavuos is known as Chag HaBikurim. We bring the Bikurim of the wheat. It is Chag HaBikurim because we bring these first fruits up. Since it is customary, says the Shla, to eat dairy on Shavuos, the Torah reminds us that when you bring your Bikurim, Shemos 23:19, Reishis Bikura Ad Mascha Tavi Beis Hashem El Kecha, when you bring your Bikurim of Chita on Shavuos, be very careful, Lo Sivasha Gedi Bechelev Imo. I know that it's Shavuos. I know you're probably going to be eating Ma'achalei Chalav. When is it Shavuos? When you bring your Bikurim to Beis Hashem El Kecha. Therefore, the end of the pasuk is a warning to be careful that when you cook your dairy on Shavuos, which is Chag HaBikurim, you should not mix your milk and meat. I saw something else that I found, thought was very interesting. This I saw on Chabad.org, actually, the following, but I thought it was cool. Excuse me. Here we go. Chalav in Gematria. Ches Lamed Beis. 40. Moshe was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, to receive the Torah. Eating chalav reminds us of the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe was on Har Sinai. I saw that on Chabad. I like that as well. But Moshe was on Har Sinai. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought that was very interesting as well. Now I want to come to something else that I thought of, that I did not see brought down anywhere, but I thought that this was very beautiful and relevant. The pasuk tells you, I'm on your handout, Shemos 2:7, the last series of Psukim. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is born, and he's put in the basket, and Bas Paro finds him, and the sister who's standing there says, Shemos Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Vatomer Achoso, where am I up to on your handout? Towards halfway down on page 3. Vatomer Achoso Abas Paro, Ha'edich V'karasi Lach Isha Meinekes Kmin Ha'ivrios. Should I go call for you a wet nurse from the Hebrews, she will nurse the child for you. So it's very, very famous Rashi, but to prepare the share, I looked up some other sources as well. Rashi says, what do you learn from this pasuk? If she said to her, should I get you a wet nurse to nurse the baby from the Hebrews, it must be that the child tried to nurse from other people and he wouldn't nurse. Says Rashi, shehechaziratu al mitzrios harbei linok velo yonak. She took him, Bas Paro, to many Egyptians' wet nurses to nurse, and he was not nursing. So when I was preparing this shiur, I thought of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe gave us the Torah. Moshe, 40 days and 40 nights, chalav equals 40 in gematria. Moshe, emes visoraso, emes, torat sivilanu, Moshe, marasha, kilas, Yaakov. Moshe is the conduit to transmit the Torah. Kosom, rabbeis, Yaakov, etagei, libnei, Israel, God told Moshe. Moshe would only drink Jewish milk. Perhaps a reason, this also goes back to not mixing with the goyim. Perhaps another reason why we drink chalav, eat chalav on Shavuos, is to remember the one who taught us the Torah, who brought us the Torah, our eternal rabbi. He's still Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't call Moshe their rabbi. He would only drink Jewish milk. He was makban a chal v'israel. The Sfarno says, "Meinekes min ha'ivrios shayihia chalav yoser na'os l'mazgo." I found that so interesting. Says the Sfarno, the chalav would be more pleasant for his temperament. Mezeg is like weather. Okay, so the chalav would be more pleasant for Moshe Rabbeinu's temperament. Says the Chizkuni, ki mitzios lo sinek as ben Yisrael. He says something different. He says the Egyptians would not nurse a Hebrew baby. But Rabbeinu Bacha says it very strongly. The Torah teaches you that Moshe did not want to nurse from the Egyptians. V'chein darshu razal, and so the rabbi Zichron al Bracha explained. Netalto v'hevi ato etzo mitzrios. She brought him, she took him, and she took him to let's say a mother couldn't nurse. So let's say they had a formula shortage. So what are you going to do? There has to be, before there was breast milk, there were wet nurses. It was very common. Not all mothers make milk. Some can't produce sufficient milk. So they had wet nurses. So she took him to different wet nurses. Upasal esta dehen. He made their breast puzzle. He was not interested. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pesha asid daber imi, yanek min hamitzvios, a mouth that in the future will come onto our Sinai and get my Torah and speak to me, should nurse from the breast and the milk of an Egyptian woman. Ahu dektiv, like the pasuk says from Yeshayahu, I gave you the footnote, you could read it and translate for yourself. Okay, it's right there on your bottom. Asmi yored das. How shall he teach knowledge? I don't want to say the whole, I don't have time. You could read it. Asmi yoredea, v'asmi yavin, shmua gmolei michalav atikei mishadayim. So I was thinking when I was preparing shir, that perhaps this is another reason why we eat chalavi. Because Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from an Egyptian woman. He did not want anything. He rejected their breasts. He made them puzzle. He didn't want anything to do with. We have Yayin Nachri. We have Chalav Nachri. And he did not want to have anything to do with that. Okay. I just want to tell you, I wanted to give a few more reasons for Yarek, which I don't have time, but I want to tell you one beautiful, two. One is very short. This is from Chabad. Okay. But quoting, this is from Chabad. It's very short. Bikurim, when they would bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, if you look in Mishnah Bikurim, it's so beautiful. I think it's Parag Gimel. They give a whole discussion and interpretation of how they brought the Bikurim up. There would be an ox, and it had an olive wreath. They would decorate the baskets with greenery. They would decorate the ox with greenery when they brought their Bikurim. Sitz, Chag HaShavuos, is a time when we brought Bikurim, to remember in temple times the procession that was decorated with greenery when they brought up their Bikurim. Therefore, we put greenery and herbage in our homes and shows. Last insight that I saw, which I was really taken with. So we already proposed that perhaps Chalav reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu from Perek Beis in Shemos, You saw it on the screen and on your handout. He would not nurse. In that passage, when he's born, he will not nurse from an Egyptian. This is the last insight. This was the impetus for this whole entire shiur. This is what I read a few weeks ago when I was preparing for a different class, and I found it very fascinating. Actually, I'm not going to screenshot. I don't have time. In the same passage in Shemos, Perek Beis, his mother cannot hide him anymore. She hides him for 3 months. She can't hide him anymore. She makes a little tevas goma and she puts him al hasuf. She puts him in the reeds by the water. He's not floating mamish in the water. He's a teeny baby. He was a preemie. So he, 3-month-old preemie. I had 2 preemies, 2 months premature. They are equal to the size at 3 months of a newborn baby. He's a little baby. So she puts him in the marshes by the side of the river, to remember that Knosha was saved and protected in the marshes by the side of the river. We put up greenery on Shavuos. But it gets even better. And this is really what I loved. This is from Chabad. It never occurred to me before. Although one time, Rachi Fried, are you here? No. Rachi Fried said to me a bunch of months ago, she realized what I'm about to tell you. I said, that's really cool. I never thought of it. And then when I found this source, I sent it to her. I said, you told me this a few months ago without a source. So Baruch Shekivant. Moshe was born 3 months early. Rashi explains that I'm in the same passage in Perek Beis where I went to prove that Chalav might be because he would not drink Chalav Nachri. In that same passage, we are told she can't hide him anymore. And Rashi there says, and I do not have time to go inside with it with you, but you could go look it up. Rashi says he was born 3 months early because the Egyptians would calculate the due date. When they calculated that the lady was due, they would come take the baby and throw it in the Nilus River. This was the Savior. So he was born 3 months early. And then it says, after 3 months, she cannot, I quoted the pasuk for you already, she cannot hide him anymore. That's when she makes him a little tevas goma, vatasem basuf. Suf means reeds. That's why Yam Suf is a sea of reeds. Yam Suf is not the Red Sea. It's a mistake. Yam Suf is a sea of reeds. What day was Moshe born? What? If Zion others the day he was born, he was 3 months premature. Is Zion Sivan. The day she couldn't hide him anymore and put him in the reeds is Zion Sivan, the day of Matan Torah. Now, you're going to tell me Matan Torah is on Vav Sivan. I've heard Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter talk about this years ago at the Shuvah's program, and I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Zev Leff, where he just spoke about it again. The real date of Matan Torah, which is a whole shiur in and of itself, according to Chazal, and I'm not going into it at all, I listened to Rabbi Leff's shiur twice, and I heard Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter present on this a few years ago on Shuvah's, is Zion Sivan. Okay? We don't celebrate on Zion Sivan, but that is the actual day. The Chachamim agree was the day of Matan Torah. Moshe was put into this whole, this was the whole springboard for this entire shiur, because I really like this. And when I read this, I thought of Chalav also being related to that passage. So these two insights were the point of departure, to quote Dr. J.J. Schachter, for this entire shiur, which I found extremely fascinating. Mikam Chesua, besides for one person who obviously had to be somewhere, no one left. So that's really testament to the beauty and excitement and truism of Torah. Moshe was put into the reeds, which saved him. So we have greenery on Shavuos, on Zion Sivan, which is the day in the future when he would give us the Torah. To remember the greenery that protected Moshe. On the day of Matan Torah, we put greenery into our homes. To remember the milk and the breast that he rejected, we drink and eat and partake of chalav. But says Commissioner Brura, when you have your fleishik meal, don't trafe up your house. Thank you for learning with me. Stay until the end. I wish everybody a wonderful Yom Tov. Chag Kasher, Chag Sameach, and a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, everybody. Kol Tov.